Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this week's investment review from January the 10th, 2024. We'll go ahead and dive right into this week's video by taking a look at the major asset class review, as well as a brief look at Dolly, although not many changes there. Looking at the performance of the indices we follow on the video here, bit mixed, seeing commodities move their way to the upside up over 1%. Have seen some U.S. equity indexes finish the week in positive territory, with the S&P 500 up 29 basis points. Did see the Russell 2000 retract about 2% over the past week. But from there, we see emerging markets down over 1% as well, but most kind of in that basis point range, with the exception of a few. Now, looking at the chart of the S&P 500 this morning, we did see it reverse up back into X's following Monday's action there at 4760, putting in some support here at 4700. Also could potentially look at old prior resistance at 4600 as some possible resistance as well, but seeing at least some support develop here closer to current levels and some consolidation on the chart is a positive for the S&P 500. Now, looking at the chart of the Russell 2000, we did see it retract over the past week, but with action earlier this week, reversed back into X's there at 1980, sort of somewhat improving that picture, and overall putting in a higher bottom here at 1950 as well, above prior support that we saw kind of down in the 1800s. So some near-term positive for small caps as well. We did see overall, as stocks have generally retracted over the past week, week and a half to begin 2024, we've seen bullish percents begin to roll over into a column of O's. This is the bullish percent for the S&P Small Cap 600, symbol caret BPS, PSML. Reverse down into O's following Friday's action there at 66%. This comes after it had moved up to a sort of rally mark high here at 72%. It's highest level since we've seen since the summer of 2021. Now, we did see the BP for the S&P Mid Cap 400 reverse down following Friday's action. But interestingly enough, still see the BP for SPX sitting in X's at 74%. A potential reversal will come with a move below 72%. So worth kind of keeping in mind there that that large cap index sort of universe is still maintaining, or we're still seeing stocks maintain buy signals within that universe. Now, looking at Dolly, not many changes this week. Still see the asset classes remain fairly stable, with domestic equities nearing that 300 buy signal mark. Did see real estate come out of the sort of bottom there, jockeying for that last position with healthcare. But overall, the sector rankings remain fairly stable, and we still see pretty stable subsector rankings within other asset classes as well. So for more on the asset class group scores page, we'll go ahead and pass it on over to Steve.
Thank you, David. As we proceed third way into January, let's see if we can spot any new things going on. Concerning some of the top line group score indications of money market, percentile rank of the core and such, it's the same as we've been, as we crossed into January. So we're holding some stability there. I will say that we punched up another pile of groups. So now we have jumped up from the low 80s to 93 groups above the score of three. So there is a broadening out of how these scores are dispersing. I want to make a point that this core score, the S&P 500 score here, this 480 is actually the highest system score we've ever measured for the core. So think of it as a 30-year big mark here. Just a good note to remember. Now, as we take a look at how the U.S. and the international are faring along, I think we pointed out that both groups had a decent January so far, but clearly the spread of the U.S. is strengthening closer to a very high four-level score that we've seen in years. So I think the spreads are intact very nicely here. As we contrast the value and growth paradigm, they both opened up okay in January, but I think we can still sense that growth had a good week compared to value, and we'll continue to monitor that situation. As we can continue to look at trends, moving averages, things of this nature, we're pretty stable compared to last week, except we did have a big jump up in the 50-day, 200-day moving average contrast. So we still see some health there in moving averages, consistent with equity all around the world. Now, as we peer into some of the core dynamics, not much has changed. Everything's still lined up as how we came into January. A little bit of a pullback in the Q factor, But it's still quite the handsome leader. Not much change in the cap weight, and still a tug of war between equal weight and momentum. The focus momentum is leaned back a little bit over the 10 days here, but we shall see. Continue to look. As we take a look at maybe that subject of commodities really falling apart here, making a 3-year score low. They had another downtick this week. I'm not saying this is the lowest score we're ever going to see, but it can go lower, but still in distress, I would say, as we head towards mid-January. I threw China in here for a specific reason. It just came into the January with very, system low scores, but it just made a new system low score yesterday, believe it or not. So things can be bad and you can roll into a new year and it still gets worse. We'll continue to monitor things like this. I want to close on kind of this unmentioned group. Who mentions? Well, I will today for a specific reason. First, the average asset allocation fund is zooming along. The combinations of fixed incomes and U.S. equities and non, internet, all this good stuff. These funds are zooming along, and included in here are target funds. Okay. And I would say that they're doing very, very well. In fact, I might use the word too well. Keep that in mind as you're look as you're prospecting, remembering your prospects. They're loaded up with these target funds. They're loaded up with funds like this. Kind of don't forget that there's reasons to make calls and say, hey, how are you doing? And try to compare your strategy with the average asset allocation fund. I think you'll find it's a good time to, keep those folks in mind. But for more on momentum and the dollar, let's move over to John.
Thanks a lot, Steve. So we're going to look real quick at what's going on in the momentum space here. And when we look at the spreads, Steve mentioned that the momentum factor had pulled back a little bit in the first 10 days. We're seeing the same thing when we look at the spreads, when we look at high RS indexes versus benchmarks. So the first or the start to the year has been not the greatest for momentum. We've seen the laggards do okay. But on the international side, it's looking a little better. So the bottom left, we have that developed spread that has hooked up nicely. And then the emerging spread continues to chug along. That spread has been much better than developed or domestic. And it's been that way for quite some time. So keep your eye on that and kind of what's going on in that emerging market space with high momentum or high relative strength securities. Now, just looking at a high momentum index versus a relevant benchmark. You can see the top right on the domestic side, we've pulled right back to that 50-day moving average. This is a pretty logical point to get some support. The January effect will have probably run its course. And if we get some traction here, that will be a very, very good sign for momentum. Developed is not really doing as well, just like the spread. We're kind of having some trouble getting going there, but emerging is great relative to its benchmark. A lot of that is due to the heavyweight in China. China has not done well. Ian will show those country ranks later, but China's been kind of at the bottom of the ranks for quite some time. So that's really helped everything on the emerging market side if you can underweight China. Now, moving over to the US dollar, we haven't seen a ton of action in there. We saw the breakdown of a potential shakeout pattern that's reversed. We're now in a negative trend, and we've just kind of been moving sideways to start off the year. And for more on what's going on in the currency space, we'll turn it over to Miles.
Thank you, John. Never a dull week within the cryptocurrency space here. Of course, all eyes were on the possible approval of that spot Bitcoin ETF. We saw some increased volatility after market close yesterday after some technical difficulties for the SEC. Of course, that did see some poor performance across the board for a lot of the coins within the Nasdaq Crypto Index NCI on the platform. Pretty much all of the coins landing in the red. However, Bitcoin there, it was up about 2.5% for the day. Saw a lot of reversals as, or excuse me, for the week, saw a lot of reversals as well on those default charts for these coins. Do you want to take a look at the 500-point chart for Bitcoin? Typically speaking, the default is going to be percentage-based. However, 45,000 has been a pretty interesting level, both psychologically and on the chart throughout 2024 so far here. All things equal, we're down at around 45,300 here. So we should get a reversal back down on this chart tomorrow. Nonetheless, here, keep an eye on 45,000, 45,500. Those have been previous areas of resistance high points throughout 2023 and 2024. Also, again, psychologically, people like to defend those 1,000-point marks. With that said, though, I will go ahead and toss it on over to Joseph to touch on size and styles.
Thanks, Miles. And we didn't see too many changes in the size and style rankings this week. You know, we still see large cap growth and the core S&P 500 index funds group there leading the way with the only two groups there with scores above four. Now, we did see some weakness in the small cap space, particularly small cap value. We noticed that was just behind large cap growth last week, fell a few spots in the rankings this week, although not a dramatic drop in score by any means or anything like that. But definitely a stronger performance over the last week from the large caps relative to the small caps. Now, one ETF I like to look at is the Invesco S&P 500 Top 50 ETF XLG. So this just holds the top 50 stocks within the S&P 500. Really strong fund score, 5.51. We do see the score duration tick down a little bit, but that's pretty typical for a fund that was scoring around 5.8. We did see it reverse down, last week, then reverse back up. It's testing that high around 37.75 here on its 25-cent chart. Now, with this one, I think you do have this support established there at 37, but a break below 37, I do think, opens up that prior resistance around 36 to potentially get tested. So I think that's something to keep in mind here. Obviously, this is the strongest area of the market are the megas. That's kind of continued into this year so far, at least. And we do have a support level established after that strong run in November and December last year. So I think we have a level that's pretty close by to really keep a close eye on right now is that 37 level. Getting into value, which Steve mentioned a little bit earlier, this is VTV, so the Vanguard Value ETF. A lot of improvement over the last 2 months, just like the rest of the market. It's now testing 150 here on its chart. A move to 152 would mark a new all-time high here for VTV. Now, it is 75% overbought. There's obviously a lot of resistance here dating back to early 2022. So I think that's something to keep an eye out for. If value can break through here and really start to participate and broaden out this rally, which we've already seen based on kind of the number of groups scoring above three on the asset class group scores page, for example. But this would be a very nice move for value to get to 152. Now, a reversal down, I do think, opens up some of these lower levels here. If we just continue to stay in this range, a failure to break out opens up test much lower. So I think we're at a very important inflection point for value in general. Getting into some individual sectors here, looking at financials and healthcare, financials remains one of the more most improved groups in the fourth quarter last year. Now ranks fourth in the Dali rankings. Healthcare and real estate kind of keep swapping for last place here. Healthcare losing the tiebreaker and now sits in last place in the sector rankings there. Now there's a lot of big earnings kicking off at the end of this week. You got a lot of big bank names, JP Morgan, Bank of America, for example, on Friday. So looking at the Spider S&P Bank ETF here, score 4.03, nice score direction, almost 2.5. Look at the trend chart here. You see the nice rally to kind of close out the year. It went from around 34 at the end of October all the way up to 47 by the end of the year. Has pulled back here to around 45. Now I think there's potential to go test lower. The key area I'm looking at is this around 42.50, plus or minus a point or so. This was the bottom of the range prior to the regional banking crisis last year, around 43, 43.50. And then 42.50 here was the top of the rally in July. So I'd really like to see if we do pull back, that 42, 42.50, 43 area act as support, and then for you know, further continuation higher for banks. I do think a failure and a breakdown below could spell a lot of trouble for the banking space. So I think that's something to keep an eye out for right now. And then, you know, looking at some individual stocks here. So JP Morgan Chase has probably been the strongest banking name in terms of the large caps and the ones that we have earnings on Friday. This week, 4 for 5er broke to a new all-time high here at 172 to start off 2024. Now you can see it's heavily overbought, 110% reading, has no support until 136 on its trend chart. Although 158, which was prior resistance, could act as new support, but that's still 14 points away from where it's currently charting. So that'd be a pretty hefty pullback. For JP Morgan to get down to 158. Now, we talked about this last week. The falling interest rates have definitely been a tailwind for banks. It's opening up the channels for lending. You know, for example, this morning we saw the mortgage applications was up 10% compared to last month. The prior reading was down 10%. So the lower interest rates are having an effect on lending conditions. That seems to be supportive for banks as long as the economic backdrop remains, you know, mostly positive for the time being. So that's something to keep an eye out for. I think when we look at banks, is especially what we're going to see with interest rates. They've cooled off quite a bit. They've bounced a little bit, but you know, not significantly enough to have a negative impact just yet. But I would still say, you know, keep a close eye on yields. Another bank to look out for on Friday is Bank of America, kind of the flip side. It's a 2 for 5er, one of the weaker names in the kind of large cap banking space. It has held this downtrend since May of last year. It's now close to pretty much testing that bearish resistance line. It's close to heavily overbought territory, not in there like JP Morgan is at around 60%. So I think, you know, if you're looking for ideas in the banking space, Bank of America is one to probably avoid. They do have one of the largest unrealized fixed income held to maturity positions that I'm aware of. I think it totaled around $130 billion at the end of September. Lower interest rates obviously alleviate some of that pain, but you know, those are unrealized losses that can't be sold. So lower interest rates kind of negate some of those unrealized losses. Again, I think when you look at the banking space, what interest rates are doing is probably the most important thing to keep tabs on. Getting over to healthcare, again, you know, a weak sector. Looking at the equal weight ETF RSPH, you see the strong rally to close out last year, but you know, hasn't been enough to really change any of the relative strength rankings. This one is heavily overbought, 100% reading. So even though healthcare is at the bottom of the Dolly rankings, it has already kind of done a laggard rally. And I think that may come to a close relatively soon. One big name, this one also has earnings on Friday, is United Health Group, UNH. We talked about this one quite a lot because it's at the top of the range it's been in for the last few years. So something to watch, another stock to look out for on Friday for earnings is UNH. A final breakout would be a really good sign for the broader healthcare space. While, you know, if 552 keeps a lid on this recent rally, you know, probably spells more trouble for healthcare. And I'll go ahead and pass it on over to David.
Thanks, Joe. And we'll dive right into consumer cyclical as well as take a look briefly at some utilities names. Broadly speaking, looking at the discretionary space, we did see XLY pull back about 1% overall. We've seen it just retract a little closer to the middle of the trading band there at 172. Still maintains the buy signal. Overall, fairly healthy action. A reversal up from here would occur potentially at 178, possibly putting in a higher bottom there at 172. So that's what we'll continue to watch for. As far as news for the sector over the weekend, Alaskan Airlines, as many are aware of, was a plane had a door fly off mid-flight or mid-takeoff. Overall, Boeing has probably seen more impact from that than Alaska Airlines, ALK. Overall, because we've seen LK being a column of those since the beginning of the month, and really have seen it pull back about 1.5%, not nearly as much as Boeing, putting it right at the middle of the trading band, but overall fairly negative technical picture anyways. But elsewhere in the airlines, we do see Delta upcoming with earnings on Friday, slightly better technical picture with the 2-for-5 there than ALK, but overall it's technically on a sell signal right now. Did reverse up this week to form a double top there at 42, move above 43 would return it to a buy signal, and then from here a move above 47 would flip it back into a positive trend. So a couple levels to watch there, but now I see a higher bottom here at support at 39, as well as some pretty significant support here in the lower 30s for DAL, and again earnings upcoming on Friday. As far as positive action goes for stocks within the sectors, we did see Abercrombie and Fitch ANF. It's a 5-for-5 break a triple top this week as it rallied to better its prior all-time high, moving up to 99. It has since reversed down. This has been a pretty sort of one of those positions that you sort of felt like you kind of tried to catch up with almost. Maybe one that if you're looking to add exposure to, it might be a dollar cost average position, as it has remained in overbought territory for quite some time. But overall, it's been a pretty solid technical picture as it continues to move higher. Another one that we saw some positive action out of is Expedia Group. Talked about this one last week for reversing down, kind of keeping an eye on it, especially with some other stocks in the leisure space after they retracted notably to begin the year. EXP still at 4-for-5, reversed up yesterday, improving even today up to that 154 level there on the chart. A move above 156 would be a fourth consecutive buy signal for the stock and a new 52-week high. So something to keep that in mind there. And it's actually within fairly actionable territory at the moment, just below that 60% mark. Amazon, also another one that we're seeing reverse up into X's with today's action. They're at 152, still maintains the buy signal, putting in a higher bottom there at 146 with nice support there at 140. Now, moving on over to utilities, we did see XLU reverse back into a column of X's to again test this bearish resistance line. A little bit of sort of what we've been experiencing for really the past 12 months in terms of looking at this chart. Still haven't seen it be able to penetrate that. Have seen the score pick up a little bit though, increasing above one, as it's generally been below one for much of the past couple of months. So interesting sort of silver lining there for utilities. Now, with stocks in the sector, we did see OKE, 1OK, improve to a new multi-year high up at 72 there last week. Still has maintained a buy signal since October of last year and holds a yield north of 5%. Additionally, another stock you might look at or potentially consider within utilities, if you're looking for that or possibly yield exposure, is Otter Tail Power, OTTR. It's a 5-for-5 within that electric utility sector matrix. It's in the top third and has a yield just shy, a little over 2% there. Recently pulled back here to 84. See some prior resistance there at 83. May look for a resistance or a reversal back into X's there at 87 before possibly initiating new exposure. But for those who may hold it currently, you may look at this pullback as a potential opportunity to add further, as it's a pretty positive technical picture in the, for those, especially within the utility space, and potentially for those maybe seeking a little bit of a yield. But for to further our conversation on sectors, we'll go ahead and pass it on over to Will.
Thanks, David. I'll actually repeat a few of your points about real estate for my update for today. Not much change for consumer staples. But to get acclimated again with Dolly, here's real estate just moving out of the basement above healthcare. Of course, signal tie right now, giving it in favor to real estate. This is generally on the uptrend, though. If you look at that signal history, that's trending favorably for real estate. Looks like it may get a shot at utilities here soon. If you look for at some of the participation beneath the surface for the sector, still very strong. This is a bullish percent, well above the February 23 highs, up at around 56% currently. We got as high as 58%. So lots of stocks participating in the rally in terms of buy signals. And then if you look at the 10-week for the sector, so how many stocks are above their 50-day moving average, this is right at about 80% currently, just off its 84% high. So overall, a lot of stock participation carrying the sector higher. From a fund point of view, you're also seeing a pickup in technical stature, if you will, for real estate funds. This is the Asset Class Group Scores sector view. Right here is real estate sitting with an average score of 2.8. So it's just shy of that 3.0 green zone. That's what would put it in technically acceptable territory. So group scores definitely moving a bit quicker here to favor real estate. We're not there just yet, but again, moving much quicker. if you look at that score direction history as well, you can see real estate has the fourth best score direction of all groups right now. And if you lump financial banks and financials together, call it third best score direction of all sectors. As others have alluded to, rates have been a big story. And I think that's a big tailwind for real estate. This is a closer look at that average fund score for real estate, a pretty heroic move off of its multi-decade lows at 0.8. Just we haven't cracked that 3.0 score line since May of 22, and that was during a decline. So I think this is a really notable rally to pay attention to within real estate. As far as XLRE goes, cleared the 3.0 fund score threshold recently. You can see the chart here, although we pulled back pretty shy of the February 23 highs. I think best case scenario is you establish some support at current levels, set up the higher bottom, and then hopefully get above those February 23 highs at 42, 42.50. One of the biggest names, if not the biggest name in XLRE, is PLD. This is going to be the first name coming out with earnings. It's about a week away. Real estate, along with a lot of other sectors, go later in their earnings report cycle. But PLD, like I said, one of the earliest and biggest names that we're going to get a look at here shortly. One of the best stocks within the sector, four attribute name. I'd really like to see this break 140. That would be a great sign of confirmation. And to be frank, I think the pullback right here, if you hold that old resistance at 128, 130, set up a higher bottom and move higher, that would look really strong for the stock and maybe the sector at large. So that's all I had for real estate updates today. So I'll wrap it up and give it to Jamie.
Thanks, Will. This update will be brief as there's not been much action in materials or energy over the last week. Materials remain sixth in the Dolly sector rankings. The Select Spider Materials Fund, ticker XLB, down over 2% over the last week, trailing the S&P 500, which gained about 30 basis points. We see, you know, some decent chart improvement here on XLB, not reflected in the fund score, however, which remains below 3.0. The kind of pullback over the last week has dropped XLB out of overbought territory, now sitting around 30%. So a more healthy positioning for XLB. But at this time, you know, despite some pretty positive chart action with a spread triple top there, based both on the fund score and the Dolly sector rankings, not a lot to like from XLB in terms of relative strength. Within the sector, the Industrial Metals Fund, XME, the S&P Metals and Mining ETF, down around 280 basis points over the last week. So really not a great week for materials all around. It did fall out of heavily oversold territory. A pretty positive looking chart, pullback to around the middle of the trading band. And as you can see, XME with a very strong 5.41 fund score. So to the extent that you are maintaining materials exposure, I think, you know, metals is the place that you kind of want to be right now. It has shown pretty durable relative strength compared to the rest of the sector. And then taking a look at the VanEck Gold Miners ETF, ticker GDX, it was down about 4.5% over the last week, falling to support at $29 yesterday, and now testing its bullish support line there at $28.50. A pretty weak 1.61 fund score for GDX. You know, I think there are potentially some positive fundamentals for precious metals, you know, with the potential for yields to move lower. At this time, though, really not being reflected in what we're seeing from precious metals producers. As you can see, a pretty weak technical picture for GDX. So I think at this point, it remains an area to avoid. Moving on to energy. It remains fifth in the Dolly sector rankings. The Select Sector Energy Fund, ticker XLE, down around 280 basis points over the last week, just above recent support there at 81. We can see XLE still has a weak 2.25 fund score. And I think there are some headwinds for crude oil, which we'll talk about a little bit later. So at this point, energy remains an area to avoid. You know, we saw a kind of a rally in XLE returning to a buy signal earlier this month, but that looks like it may quickly reverse and fall to a sell signal. So that combined with the kind of weak relative strength that we see out of the energy sector, I think this is an area you kind of want to shy away from at this point. But that's all I have for sector coverage this week. So I will go ahead and pass it over to Miles to cover communication services.
Thank you, Jamie. We will go ahead and get started here with communication services. It remains just outside the top half of the Dolly rankings, continuing to see improvement over consumer staples there towards the bottom of the rankings. A couple stocks I want to bring to your attention today. The first is going to be ticker FYBR. It is a 5 for 5er, ranks in the first position of that telephone sector matrix. One of those more traditional telecom names, hasn't yet put in any chart action for 2024. However, has pulled back about 5%, giving you a bit of a better price as it's moved towards the middle of the traded band there at $22. One name that you could consider as we are on three consecutive buy signals and recently moved into a positive trend as well. Other name, also I'm going to bring to your attention, is going to be Live Nation, LYV. Is a technically strong 4 for 5er there, but has recently returned to a sell signal this week without traditional support until down there at 82. However, do want to note that we have seen similar breaks back in the back half of 2023, which ultimately reversed back up as we moved along that bullish support line there below. So keep an eye on this one, maybe set an alert for a reversal to possibly add some more in case we get some swift upside action. Moving over into industrials, we remain just behind technology. No changes for the last week. And taking a look at a couple of different names, the first one being XLI, did move below a technically strong 4.0 fund score, just scoring below there with a negative score direction as well. Something to monitor, but all things considered, technical picture still is pretty strong, remaining on that bullish catapult there at a chart reading of 114, excuse me, having recently reversed back down out of heavily overbought territory. So all things considered, broad exposure is a pretty good option. Or if you're looking for a couple of different names, David put together a nice piece in the Were You Aware yesterday, highlighting that, of course, talked about Boeing and the kind of fundamental news they've come out over the last couple of weeks. All things considered, though, really not a bad technical picture. They're a 3 out of 5, so technically a hold. Have pulled back out of heavily overbought territory towards the middle of the trading band. If you're looking to be a bit more defensive here, maybe set an alert for a reversal, which would happen at around 236 for Boeing. However, do keep your seatbelts fastened, as we might see some turbulence in the near term. Wrapping up here with Caterpillar there, CAT, another 5 for 5er, reversing back down out of heavily overbought territory over the last week. No traditional support until the bullish support line and below the bottom of the traded band at 224. So I think a defensive position here makes sense. Wait for a reversal back up and then initiate some more positioning if you're looking to do so. With that said, though, I will toss it on over to Ian to wrap up sector coverage.
Great. Thank you, Miles. So the broader technology space has seen a little bit more consolidation across some of the major areas over the course of the past week. Hasn't changed many of the broad relative strength rankings that we have on the platform, but we have seen some participation indicators start to tick a bit lower, mainly looking at the bullish percent for technology, ticker BPEC Tech on the platform, is within one box of reversing down into a column of O's. This would be a lower kind of high that we see. So we saw it peak around the 54 at the 54 level in February, and then got 50 level in July. And this would put it at the 48 level if it did reverse lower. So not a great sign from a near-term to intermediate-term perspective, but we have seen other periods where we've seen lower participation highs from technology within kind of broader uptrend. So just something else to kind of continue to monitor. But many of the broader names kind of looking more just like consolidation or pullback from rally highs. So one in particular, looking at the broader equal weight ETF, ticker RSPT, rallied up to that 3250 level, matching the high that it got to in December of 2021, and then just kind of pulling back from that extended position. Note here on the default chart, initial support's not going to be coming in until the 2650 point. So it could be good to see kind of a pullback here if we do see a little bit more movement lower to kind of normalize that trading band, maybe put in some more near-term support. In looking at some individual stock representatives, NVIDIA had a pretty solid week, marking yet another new all-time high, ticking up to that 536 level with movement on Tuesday. Still a strong 5 for 5er. Puts it back in overbought territory, though, on two consecutive buy signals that we see there. So initial support is going to be coming in at the 480 point, with further support coming in there at the 456 level. Looking at another stock within the semiconductor space that's shown consistent, strong relative strength picture, but not quite as heavily overbought. It's going to be Broadcom, ticker AVGO. Also sitting on two consecutive buy signals. Also marked a new all-time high over the course of the past month. This one came back in the middle of December, rallied up to that 1136 point and has pulled back into at the 1056 current chart level. A little bit higher than that currently, but a more normalized 47% overbought with market movement there through Tuesday. So pretty favorable looking technical picture there for Broadcom for those that are looking for exposure in semiconductors. And then in looking at a final name that has shown a pretty interesting chart picture over the course of the past week is Cadence Design Systems, ticker CDNS. Strong 5 for 5, really consistent uptrend that we see over the course of the past year plus, marked a sell signal, and that was initiated there with movement yesterday, and then actually movement last week, and then rallied back higher to the 264 level yesterday on Tuesday to initiate the buy point on a shakeout pattern. So initial support coming in at 252, the pattern would be completed with a potential triple top breakout at all-time highs, what would be new all-time highs at the 280 point. So it could be an interesting trading pattern to play there. But other than that, that wraps up what I was looking to touch on there for technology. And so we'll go ahead and shift gears into the international equity space. Not a ton to hit on within the broader international equity space over the course of the past week. Continues to sit second there in the broad Dolly asset class rankings. And we haven't seen many changes from the broad developed or emerging market representatives. But here, looking at the iShares MSCI EFA ETF, ticker EFA, still a strong 3.92 fund score, still has a positive score direction. And here, looking at the more sensitive half point per box size chart, we've seen some consolidation along with other stronger areas in global equities, sitting on three consecutive buy signals on this half point chart. We saw it reverse lower earlier this month. So we have the initial support level there at that 73.50 point, still a pretty strong looking picture for the broader developed space. Emerging markets, not quite the same. We've seen the pullback there be a little bit more notable given some more weakness that we've seen out of China. So developed markets kind of looking, at least from a broader perspective, developed markets leading the way from a relative strength perspective. And looking at some of the individual countries rankings, though, we have not seen any changes to the constituents of the quartiles, but have seen some movement from the names within the quartiles. So on the developed side, areas to note, Sweden and Japan. Japan's ranked there at the 24th position, still in the bottom half, but this is its highest relative strength ranking in this matrix that we've seen there since August of 2022. So notable to see Japan continue to tick a bit higher. We'll see if it can continue to improve up into the top half of the matrix rankings moving forward. We continue to see strength from some of the Latin American areas, looking at Colombia specifically as one kind of interesting representative to look toward. So here's looking at the Global X MSCI Colombia ETF, looking here at a more sensitive quarter point per box size chart, real strong 4.8 fund score, very positive, intensely positive 4.02 score direction. So real sharp rally from weak positioning there. Here's looking at this chart. You can get some more initial support at the 2275 point. Is going to be extended at the current position, 85% overbought with movement through Tuesday, but nonetheless a favorable looking area that you could kind of look toward as we continue to move through the start of 2024. But other than that, that wraps up what I was looking to touch on there for international equities. And so I will go ahead and throw things back on over to Jamie.
Thanks, Ian. Not a lot of action within fixed income over the last week. U.S. Treasury yields up slightly over the trailing 7 days as yields recover from highly oversold territory. However, no real indication that we are seeing a reversal back to a rising yield environment. You know, as I said, we had reached pretty heavily oversold territory. So a bit of a rebound here in yields or a bit of a rebound lower in bonds, not unexpected. I think there are some fundamental factors that kind of favor continued movement lower in rates. The market continuing to price in about 125 basis points of cuts over the next year. We have seen some shuffling in when exactly the market thinks that first rate cut will come. We've seen the positioning kind of move from March to May, but you can see here As of May, the market's still pricing in about a 90% chance that we will see at least 125 basis point rate cut by then. Taking a look at the fixed income asset class group scores, not a lot of change over the last week. Some groups falling out of heavily oversold territory, although even with the recent pullback in bonds, you can see there are still quite a few groups with overbought, oversold readings north of 100%. So I think that signals that we could see a little bit more weakness in bonds before, you know, this kind of pullback is done. But overall, seeing a pretty healthy relative strength picture in the fixed income market, definitely one of the most positive pictures we've seen over the last year or two. The majority of headcount within fixed income now residing in that green zone with scores above 3.0, and really only a couple of groups still down here in the red zone. You know, if you rewind back 6-8 months ago, you know, it was really most of the headcount was down here in the red zone, very few groups up here with scores above 3.0. So really, I think a pretty decent shift in the overall structure of the fixed income market, really seeing a lot of breadth, different groups kind of participating in upside within the broader market. Moving on to commodities, relatively flat over the last week. Not much change in the continuous commodity matrix. We still see a couple of agricultural groups and a couple of precious metals groups there at the top of the matrix. And really not a whole lot of chart developments for me to show you over the last week. Crude oil was down, I'm sorry, crude oil was up about 265 basis points over the last week. However, you can see pretty clearly forming a triangle pattern here on its point figure chart. You know, we tend to think of triangles as a continuation pattern. Crude definitely coming into that pattern in a downward trend. So from that perspective, you know, I think we could expect the downward trend to continue. So, you know, if you are interested in crude oil or energy equities, you know, keep an eye on which way this triangle breaks out. You know, I think it kind of has some potential implications for which way crude and energy equities may ultimately head. And then further on in the energy complex, natural gas, a really blistering week, gaining about 24% on expectations for colder weather, reaching about $3.35. But we have seen some pretty wild swings. You know, natural gas has been up 10% one day. It is down this morning about 5%. But I think this strong rally indicating that at least for the short term, we may have seen the downtrend in natural gas come to an end. We now show no resistance on its chart until $3.60, which is, you know, roughly 20% from where we're trading now at around $3. So some positive signs for natural gas, although we continue to see quite a bit of volatility, although not really unusual for this asset. But that will wrap up my commodity and fixed income coverage for this week. It also brings us to the end of our call. We thank you for joining us, and we will be back next week to update you on any changes we see over the coming 7 days.